Welcome to the Semper Reformanda podcast. Just truth in advertising. This is family time. I mean, John and I are both encouraged by Jesus and thinking about him and his love for us and his posture toward us. We hope that you are too, having listened to the regular episode. And I personally very much needed this conversation today.
Yeah, man.
I mean, John and I both acknowledge this often. Like sometimes when we get on, we record on Wednesday mornings for you guys to know. You can pray for us as you think of us.
Which we might, I think we're going to figure out how to do some of this live soon on the app so you can watch this part. I don't know.
Sure. Anyway, whatever. But as you think of us, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Central, whatever, on Wednesday mornings, think of us, pray for us, whatever. We're getting ready and rolling to record. There are a lot of Wednesdays when we get on and we're both tired and weary and struggling and frustrated. And like today for me, just feeling kind of melancholy and flat and gray. And, you know, even as far as your faith doesn't feel like it's got a lot of fervor. It's like, you know, that Christ has you, but it's like, man, I don't feel how I want to feel. And then we start to talk and laugh and that's good. But then we get into the podcast and we start talking from scripture about Jesus and we are both encouraged in him. And we hope that's what occurs for you too. So it happened for me today in as pointed of a way as it has in a while. So I'm grateful for the conversation up to now. And what we want to do is continue this conversation in thinking about Christ and then also just generally God's posture towards us. Because I know we were being funny with the title, God So Hated the World, but that is so often how it comes across. Like God is just really angry and reluctantly at best is saving sinners. But really, I don't even know if he wants to do that. If it didn't bring him glory, he surely wouldn't do it because like he has no interest in our well-being. And that's just so far from the biblical picture.
Yeah.
He is holy. He is righteous. He is just, and he is gracious and merciful and tender and delights to save sinners. And that's why he is so worthy of worship. And so here we are to talk about that more. I'm mindful of like Luke 12:32, John, about how Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's delight to give you the kingdom." That's a wonderful thought here too, but then maybe even where I'd love to pivot this conversation to is kind of like a Romans 8 idea along with other passages of how we have been adopted into God's family. And like 1 John, that we're now sons and daughters of God.
Yeah.
And how we've not been given a spirit of fear, but we have been given the spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father. And God is no longer our judge. Right? God is no longer scary. I mean, I'm preaching to myself here. I mean, he's no longer scary. He's no longer threatening. He no longer condemns us. He's not our judge anymore. He is our Father. Like, we don't have to do anything to like climb up into our Father's arms to be held by him and to be loved by him. That's already been given.
He picks you up.
Yeah.
You're talking about, I'm always, my brain's at wherever I'm preaching. So, John, you're the same way.
I've been in Genesis. Yeah.
Yeah. But truth be told, this is going to make Justin probably uncomfortable. I don't really care. Your capacity to pull scripture references out of memory is impressive. Like, I'll mention something. You're like, oh, yeah, Luke 13. Oh, Matthew 11. I'm like, I know it's in the Bible, but I'm like, Google, Google. Oh, that's a math. And so my Google, when I'm on the podcast, is Justin. You know, when Jesus says this, he goes, oh, yeah, John 4. I love it. My brain doesn't work that way.
Everybody's wired differently,
man. Oh, they are. I think it's fantastic. My best friend in seminary was the same way. I was like, man, I just remember it. So John 20, Jesus comes out of the tomb and Mary realizes that Jesus is not the gardener, but it's Jesus. And she goes and what the text makes you understand, the King James mistranslated it was very confusing. It says, don't touch me.
Don't you criticize the King James version.
Oh my, I got myself in trouble with that. She like grabs him. My guess is that she's like holding him on around the legs, you know, like I'm not letting you go. And just listen to what Jesus says. He gives her motivation to let go. This is what he says. Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father
and your Father
and your Father.
Amen.
To my God and to your God. I love it. It's like he's saying, we're brothers. Like we're family. It's your Father and my Father. I mean, it's the inclusion that Jesus makes. And why can Jesus proclaim that? because he gave the right to adoption to sinners. His Amen. Blood is the ink on the page that says, you belong. It's amazing.
Yeah. No, that's right. And yeah, I mean, thinking about adoption, it's one of the three. I mean, J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God, is a Christian classic. I think the best chapter in that book is the chapter on adoption. And Packer makes the argument, and this was written in the 1970s, that it is one of the most neglected doctrines in the scriptures. And if we spent more time thinking about adoption and how we have been brought into, like you said, man, the ink is literally the blood of the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And our adoption is secure, and our status as adopted children is going nowhere. And just to think about God's love for us and how he did these things for us, if we thought more about it, we would be greatly helped. And I think he's right. And, you know, Martin Luther famously wrote the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And there's that line, I think it's at the end of the third verse, at least the way we sing it at CBC, where he's talking about the devil. I mean, that song is, you know, God being our fortress and how the devil's real and spiritual warfare is real, but like we're safe and secure in the Lord and in particular in Christ and what he's done for us. But at the end of that one verse, Martin Luther writes that one little word will fell the devil, you know, that one little word will fell him. And Luther was cited as saying that that one little word, as he had it in mind when he wrote the hymn, was Abba, and how us being able to call God Father is what ultimately undoes the devil in all of his work and power. I mean, that's a remarkable thought, that God being our Father and us being able to call him that and being able to, with confidence, approach the throne of grace because of God's fatherly, gentle disposition toward us is the undoing of the evil one. What a blessed thought, you know?
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. So, Justin, you said a couple of things. When you are dealing with someone who maybe is like, yeah, but I think you guys are de-emphasizing the holiness of God. And because of that, if you continue to present this position of Jesus, then people will not see it necessary to be holy. Your response to that is?
Gosh, I mean, a number of thoughts, right? One of them is what I said in the regular show, that I think that when we rightly present the totality of God's nature, rightly emphasizing his holiness, justice, righteousness, and his love and grace and mercy, and help us understand that the holy God is the one who delights to save sinners, what is actually produced by that whole accurate presentation is reverence and awe before the Lord, where I am amazed that this God loves me and has saved me and sent his son to live and suffer and bleed and die for me, to the extent that I am moved to worship, and my desire is to love and serve and obey this God. And so that's one of my responses, is that yes, we uphold the holiness of the Lord and his righteousness so that we can accurately represent him in his grace and mercy that is most obviously seen in the work and in the cross of Christ, which is, I think, the most moving, gripping, epic message in the universe, and would produce awe and reverence before the Lord. It would do anything but produce licentiousness and looseness and apathy towards the things of God. I think if anything, the message where like holiness is overemphasized and it's all about righteousness and wrath and the like, what that ends up producing is either hatred of God, or it produces a fear of God, like I said before, where the last thing in the world we want to do is be near him. And it's like, he's not really worthy of worship except for the fact that like a dictator, I feel like I have to,
yeah,
you know, or I'm going to die. It's like, but in the other presentation, it's like, no, I mean, my heart's cry is that I love you because of what you've done for me. And like, I don't deserve it. And I'm a wretch, and you love me, and you are incredible, and you're awesome. And praise be to your name. And I will delight to live in your presence forever, you know, with the other redeemed saints. And I don't know, man, it's just a disconnect for me. I think my other response is a basic law and gospel response.
Yeah.
You got to preach. I was having this conversation the other day with the guy who's on staff with me here at the church, McKenzie. We were on our way to a meeting with some people from our church to talk theology. And we got into just talking about some other churches in our area that we know of and some things that have just been brought to our attention lately that's not of import. But just talking about how there is such a lack of law and gospel preaching. And how, like, you know, if I or McKenzie were ever invited to a church like this particular church, our sermon is a law and gospel sermon. I mean, we just begin with, all right, what does the Lord require? Mm-hmm. And let's the Ten Commandments are great, but let's just even simplify it more than that. And let's take it straight from the lips of Christ himself. We're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. How are you doing with that?
Yeah.
And we preach the law of God in all of its holiness, because the irony is many of the people that scream about wrath and they scream about God's holiness and everything else are over there relativizing the law, like telling people live this way, you know, and you can in one sense please God. Or they're kind of taking a saw, like they're taking a scalpel to the law or a machete to the law and just kind of cutting some parts out and leaving other parts and emphasizing this and throwing this over here. Whereas I think what we need to do is preach the law in all of its holiness. And frankly, brother, in all of its terror apart from Christ, because we are ruined by that and crushed by it. Then having preached the law to people who cannot keep it and shown us that we can't and showing us that we can't keep it, then we preach Christ and his work and what he came to do in his own words, that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it.
Mm.
And then you begin to see, oh, this is what the Lord has been doing all along. And this is why he gave the law in the first place. And this is what the sacrificial system was about and the priesthood was about and the Day of Atonement and the Passover and all the feasts and all these things. This was about what God would accomplish through his Christ. And we preach that message. So that's my response. Like, yeah, I agree with you. We need to emphasize holiness. And we need to do it in such a way where we are astonished at the grace of God and the fact that he loves sinners and actually celebrates when we come to faith and repent, which is his work anyway, but he celebrates mm-hmm. that. And then preach the law and preach the gospel. And I don't think anybody's going to get it twisted that we don't think God's holy, man.
No. Yeah, yeah, as you were speaking, these are the thoughts that came to my mind. Mercy, rightly taught, creates merciful Christians,
mm-hmm.
and grace, rightly taught, creates gracious Christians. But what ended up being taught in modern Calvangelical legalistic context is law, and it creates legalistic Christians, right? Yeah. When you only
self-righteous preach law, Christians.
That's right, legalistic, self-righteous Christians. When you only preach law inappropriately, it doesn't, like when I think about even the woman at the feet of Jesus in Luke 7, it's like what constituted Jesus, what did Jesus constitute to her disposition? Much forgiveness. When I see people in my congregation who see that their sins have been, you know, massively forgiven, they tend to have a mass amount of mercy and patience and grace. I mean, when Paul says in Ephesians 4, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, and he immediately points to graciousness and mercy and long-suffering, God has been merciful and patient and long-suffering towards us, and in return, we, in respect and honor, and when he says, a worthy response, okay? A worthy response is, he says, look, I will not forgive you if you are unwilling to forgive. Mm-hmm. The response of a Christian should be mercy and grace. And yet what I hear is legalism and law and self-righteousness.
Well, when it's not surprising, I'm picking up on your idea, and I think you're entirely right. I just kind of jotted this down as you were talking. I think when the law is mishandled, which is what you're saying, we uphold, like 1 Timothy 1:8, we uphold the law when it's used lawfully. But when the law is not used lawfully and it's used irresponsibly, damage occurs. And in particular, what often happens is the law is preached to Christians and it's confused. I think in our churches, John, you and I mean to do two things, even in preaching to the redeemed. We do mean to preach the first use of the law every week to just continue to remind us all that we can't keep it and we need Christ for that and that he's done it. So we do that. But then we also preach the third use of the law as the guide for our lives, but we do that in a way that is gentle and not threatening and not condemnatory. Because the law can no longer condemn us in Christ. It doesn't mean that we don't love it and that we don't want to follow it. Of course we do, but we're not afraid of the law anymore. But what happens often, John, is that the third use of the law in the minds of many Calvangelical preachers, you know, the guide part, is actually preached with this threatening tone like it's the first use. And so then what occurs is when people are being told effectively to live better, it's done with this edgy, threatening tone, which then produces people that are edgy and threatening in how they interact with everybody else when it comes to obedience.
That's right.
It's always about, you got to do this or else. You know, and that's how we interact with each other. It's not shocking. The tone and tenor of the preaching and how the law is understood and how the gospel is understood then affects the tone and tenor of all the relationships in the church.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Justin and I could do this all day. We go off each other. But as you're talking, what I hear is that preaching that should be relieving people of their burden and giving them hope for their burden, like in Galatians 2, bear ye one another burden. Instead, we are putting a burden on top of them, and we're exhausting Christians with the law, inappropriately preached with the first use. And Jesus is saying, no, 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 my burden is light.
Yes.
The burden that you carry, the yoke that comes with me, is a relief.
Why is that? Because he's done it.
That's right. So when I get up into the pulpit, or any Reformed preacher or any preacher of the gospel gets up into any area where they're heralding, or even you don't have to be a preacher, you who are sharing Jesus with your friends and neighbors and your congregants, and you're building each other up, it should be the relief of the burden off of them, where you aren't adding to the burden, but you're carrying that burden. I mean, Galatians 6:2, bear you one another burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Fulfill his law by carrying. So what gets me upset is people preach Jesus and they give more burden.
Yeah.
Paul says, you preach Jesus and you carry burdens. You don't put more burdens on people. What's wrong with you people? I'm sorry. No, to quote R.C. Sproul, what's wrong with you people?
What's wrong with you people? No, I agree, man. And we could go on for a while, but
yeah, unfortunately, we cannot.
Yeah, suffice it to say that Jesus is gentle and lowly and compassionate, and toward those who know that they need him, he is always that way. He is not scary. He is not threatening. He is not disappointed. He welcomes us in love. He invites us to come to him. He reminds us that in him are found peace and rest and life. And we can approach him for those things. And he wants us to be with him. Like, if anything, for me, I guess one of the takeaways is that God so loves us that he rejoices to save us. And that is a reminder. I don't think we can hear that enough. So,
amen.
Grace and peace to you saints who are listening to this podcast. And we hope sincerely that you've been encouraged in Christ and in the love of your heavenly Father today. We have been, as we've talked about it. So keep pressing on, keep trusting Christ, keep loving each other in your local communities. And we pray that, you know, things continue to develop with SR and the app and the groups and all that good stuff so that even more community and encouragement can ensue. So pray for us, continue to support this ministry. We're very grateful for you and your partnership. We look forward to more of this and more rest in Christ and more joy in him and all that stuff should the Lord tarry in the months and years to come. So
join some groups. If you're not on a group, go join a group, an online group, a local group. Let's get this thing rolling.
Like John's condemning all of you who haven't joined a group yet. Now that we're done with the gospel part. Yeah,
I'm encouraging you.
I'm kidding. Not condemning. Totally kidding. John's encouraging you. This is, he is your kind
admonishing.
Advisor. He is your kind advisor. Like peace John be Calvin said of the law. All right. Right. Anyway, before this really, really just goes off the cliff, we're going to say goodbye, and we will talk with you guys again next week on SR. Peace.